Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
What up? Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 109. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
What level of dream state are we in right now, dude?
Yeah, we're in the deep, deep coma state of the summer.
So, in terms of inception, we are in the fourth dream level?
Dude, don't give it away. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
Dude, did you just give away the whole movie?
No.
Did you just tell me the ending and everything?
And then Keanu Reeves fights with Lawrence Fishburne?
Yeah.
And George Clooney shows up, and they steal the money from the casino.
Now we're talking.
That's essentially the movie.
Okay. I'm going to go see it.
I didn't ruin anything, dude.
But, okay, good.
I'm surprised you haven't seen it yet, dude.
I was going to, but...
There's nothing else going on.
That's
now that you're back from Spain.
That's the God's honest truth. But you're going away next week, dude.
I am. So this is
another week off.
I know. We're going to have another week off. The doldrums of summer continue. We've somehow managed to tread water during what's been a pretty dull summer, unless you're Ilya Kovalchuk. You haven't had a lot going on.
Right.
Well, but
what will our listeners do another week off, dude?
Hopefully go outside. Maybe see Inception, read a book, drink some beer,
I
hope, if you're of age. Thank you,
of course. And volunteer
at a soup kitchen,
help out your community,
get a big brother or a big sister.
Yeah, there you go. When you say big brother, big sister, I think of Step Brothers with Paul Rudd. And they're doing like the medieval stuff with the swords and the
park.
Oh, no,
that's not Step Brothers. That's Role Models.
Role Models, thank you.
I do know my potty mouth comedies.
You certainly do.
I'm an expert.
My hat is off to you. And we're talking about movies because there's nothing else to talk about. So we're going to be going through the entire...
Let's look through your DVD collection, shall we? All right.
We got IMDb open here. We're going to be talking about Paul Rudd for the rest of the hour.
Let's look at Mike's DVD cabinet. We have Bicentennial Man.
Yeah.
That great Robin Williams as a robot film.
Cool.
We have Some Like It Hot, Mrs. Doubtfire, White Chicks. Dude, I'm sensing a theme here. And the theme is not funny movies.
Yes.
No, those are good movies, except for White Chicks.
And except I don't actually have any of them. Except for that,
too. Let's get down to business, dude. We do have one item
of
legitimate Sharks news.
Yes. Steven Zaleski signs.
Steven Zaleski, who played how many games last year in the NHL? One? Two?
Yes. Something like that. The news is so groundbreaking, we didn't even bother to research it.
Well, I've got the information right here.
Okay.
He gets a one-year deal. You know, one-year, $500,000 deal. He'll be a restricted free agent again next year. It pays him a whopping $60,000 if he's playing in Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
And then if he does play in the... I'm sorry, $75,000.
Mm.
A little raise.
There you go.
He had a good year last year for Worcester. 62 points in 78 games. Pretty important player in their run. And with the Sharks, you know, three games and a big donut. And I think what we wondered when we saw him is... You know, who is this guy in terms of what he might be able to contribute to the Sharks? You know, he's only 23. You know, a guy who played college hockey at Clarkson University. Is this guy a top six forward, or is he...
It's not looking that way. It's certainly not looking that way, although we haven't seen a lot of him.
Yeah, he's only had two seasons of professional hockey out of college. But it seems like from his profile, based on how he played in Worcester last year, that... He's one of these guys who's going to be a top six forward down there, but when he comes up to San Jose, can he hang in that type of role? I think the answer is unknown. So another guy like that, kind of in the fold.
I'm sure
we'll see him at some point next year.
We'll see him, and this is going to be a big season for him. If he can step it up to almost a point per game, then he might have a fighting chance at a scoring line opportunity with a big NHL club. Short of that, he's... probably going to be a third or fourth liner. I don't think he's that big of a guy either, so it might be tough for a guy like Steven Zaleski to find an NHL job, but of course we wish him the best, and we saw some decent stuff out of him in rookie camp, and he's got some decent players in Worcester to play with, so we'll see if he can take his game to another level.
And that's going to be a young team again next year, mm-hmm. like a really young team, really young on D. I'm excited to follow them on the intranet to see how it goes.
Hooray for that.
Not really overwhelming confidence to give, you know, a former fifth round draft pick when his deal comes up, a 1-year deal that's not exactly like, you know, Doug Wilson is wanting to lock him up as an important part of the future. You know, usually these guys do 2-year deals after their entry level's up, but mm-hmm. 1 year for Zaleski, I guess we'll see, man.
Well, the fact that he hasn't really played much at the NHL level, I think, is probably the reason for that. Let's move on to other NHL news, and then we'll have to figure out what we're going to do for the rest of the 28 minutes of the show. Because
I've got that DVD cabinet open.
We have two pieces of news, both indirectly involving the Los Angeles Kings. The first is the Kings take a close second to Kovalchuk in Alex Ponikarovsky.
That's a close second.
Not exactly.
Well, this follows form to what we predicted last week, that mm-hmm. Dean Lombardi struck out with the Kovalchuk sweepstakes, and they signed a guy who is, you know, basically what a Zverev clone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Hot and cold. You know, they're trading one disgruntled Russian for another, right? Or is Frolov Russian?
Yes.
So, you know, is this an upgrade from Frolov?
I would say no.
Yeah.
But Frolov is a question mark. To me, it's like him and Zverev are almost the same person. Although I guess Zverev is, if possible, even more flaky. So the Rangers go with Frolov and
1-year deal for both. Yeah, so really, yeah. No harm, no foul. But for the Kings, you know, like we sort of talked about last week, that, you know, I think Lombardi having struck out with Kovalchuk is keeping the cap room alive for
right.
next offseason. And I fully expect him to make a really strong run at Alexander Semin mm-hmm. next year.
Or Joe Thornton.
And you got to imagine that, you know, maybe we will be able to use this for a positive soundbite. You know, will yes. you play this next summer where I say the Kings will sign Alexander Semin instead of such winning sound bites like this?
I think I do have a good clip of us being correct.
So then, is there any chance this contract is going to get voided?
No. So that's us talking about the Ilya Kovalchuk contract,
yeah,
which obviously
never gets
was,
old,
was voided.
Never gets old.
Actually, you know, speaking of Joe, I wanted to view the results of the poll on dudesonhockey.com.
Yes.
So the question was, do you offer Jumbo a contract this summer? And I think we might have influenced some voting with our excellent watertight arguments. And our point of view, no, get the contract year production and reevaluate once the season is over, is in the lead with 71% of the vote. And yes, let's get the hometown discount now before Dean Lombardi comes calling, only has 14 votes, 30%. So
now, I was a little incorrect last week, dude. I want to correct myself. I'm going on a revision.
Please do.
I said that Joe signed that extension at the end of his contract year. That's not true. Now, actually, he had a year left. They signed Joe after that huge year.
Right.
But he still had a year left on that deal. When I went back and looked at it, I went, and then his you know, production actually dropped off
yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess we won't know, you know, really how Joe Thornton is going to produce in a contract year, because I don't think that was a really true test of that, since he really did have a year left when he signed the 3-year extension. So we'll have to see. Who knows what Doug Wilson's plan is, but the listeners have spoken, or at least the ones that clicked the mouse, dude.
The ones that visit the website in the middle of July to take a poll on hockey.
Honest reaction when you saw the Kings signed Ponikarovsky was?
A little chuckle to myself.
I laughed.
Yeah. I didn't laugh out loud, because what else are they going to do? It's not a dumb move to sign Ponikarovsky by any means. He's not Kovalchuk by a far sight. But a 1-year deal, it's low risk. They need some scoring touch. There's no reason for them to try and make a crazy trade and trade some talent that they have for somebody else. They're already talking about Caberle, which we'll get to in a minute. But
is it possible that as it stands right now, if you're Doug Wilson, you go, the window for us, the window of opportunity has now cracked even larger because the Kings were not able to take that step.
That's true.
And I think a lot of people felt like they were going to take this summer. If they sign Kovalchuk, Sharks stay status quo, you got to put the Kings even mm-hmm. with the Sharks, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you put them even at least.
At least.
You know?
At least.
So, and they, you know, could have been, you know, with Vancouver, the, you know, odds on favorites to win the Western Conference. But now, you know, where the Kings are, they're a bottom half playoff team still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So the Sharks, Blackhawks, losing players daily.
yeah.
Vancouver making large improvements. Kings treading water, maybe regressing a little tiny bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to motivate Doug Wilson to get something done quicker? I don't know. We're not at that yet.
We're not there yet, but we do have some emails. Questions@dudesonhockey.com is the email address. And of course, you can submit questions to us via Twitter if you want to, although we haven't got one of those yet, but we did get one this week from Facebook.
Awesome.
Because there is a page for Dudes on Hockey Podcast on Facebook, which we definitely interact with, and we appreciate all of you liking our Facebook page.
Yeah, we get a lot of shout outs. You know, we heard from Curtis this last week, Mark.
Yeah.
We had another gentleman say some very kind words. So thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Facebook friends.
We appreciate it. Mark says, I love you guys.
Well, we love you too.
We do love you, Mark. Thank you.
A hockey love.
It's cool. And so Curtis does have a question. He says, what's the stuff making the rounds about getting Cabrelet from Toronto but having to dump Chloe? What do the dudes think? Well, Cabrelet's a whole can of worms, and we might be able to fill a little time with Cabrelet because we got nothing else to talk about.
Right.
No, the deal with Cabrelet is Brian Burke apparently has several suitors.
So he says.
Okay. But there's other, it's not just all Brian Burke's word. There are other hockey insiders like Bob McKenzie, and I've heard certain stuff about that. Nothing solid, but... to be honest with you, Curtis, I don't think Brian Burke would be interested in trading Thomas Cabrelet for a $3.6 million forward that is not awesome. So it's not that I don't like Ryan Clough. I know some people aren't a fan of his contract. I guess I have to put myself in that category. I certainly like him as a player. I don't know if it's worth $3.6 million. And I think a lot of teams, rightly so, might take that as a bit of an albatross contract. And Brian Burke is trying to put himself in the dominant position with this trade. And I don't think he's going to be willing to take a contract like that in exchange for a very, very good defenseman when there's so many people, supposedly, in this market.
Right.
So, we talked about Seto. We've talked about Seto a lot. I think Seto might be the kind of player that Brian Burke would go for. But given how stingy he's been so far and how little information we've got on this, and we haven't seen a lot about different, rumors swirling about, it could be this guy, it could be that guy, I have to think that Seto isn't going to be enough either. And we're talking about 1 year of Thomas Cabrelet, and if you need to give Seto and more value instead of something like Seto and Ken Huskins, which is something that we've talked about as a possible trade package to damn near every team in the Western Hemisphere.
Right.
I don't think Seto and Huskins is going to get it done, or even Chloe and Huskins. So are we talking Seto and Chloe? That's not something I would really be willing to
put a 0% chance of that deal happening.
Right.
If it's Seto and Chloe.
Right.
I think we've talked about before that I'm just not sold that Cabrelet is going to be
the answer.
The answer here.
Yeah.
You know, someone was asking me to describe Thomas Cabrelet to them. And I said, well, I want you to think about the personality of Mark Edward Vlasic with the talent of Dan Boyle without the fire.
Right. Yeah.
He's basically a more talented Vlasic, but equally as boring.
Yeah. A bigger Vlasic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
bigger, more offensive Vlasic.
Would he help the power play? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is he going to replace Rob Blake's huge shot? No.
No. That's not his thing.
The knock on him is doesn't shoot enough.
Right.
The thing that concerns me the most about Cabrelet is when you look at the Leafs' time on ice last year, Jeff Finger in 39 games played a total of 66 minutes of shorthanded time. Cabrera in 82 games played a total of 8 minutes of shorthanded time.
Wow.
8 minutes.
Holy crap.
So that shows you that Ron Wilson wanted nothing to do with Thomas Cabrera.
I think those 8 minutes
on
came
the penalty kill.
He fell off the bench once when they were on the kill and they gave him a couple seconds a kill.
Now
time.
That's not, you know, that hasn't been the trend forever with Cabrera. Mm-hmm. You know, he has played, you know, in 2008, 2009, he did log a total of 64 minutes on the kill. So I think earlier in his career, he played more on the kill. But what we're seeing is, you know, Blake played a ton of minutes on the kill.
Mm-hmm.
He played a lot of power play time. He can play in every situation. And Cabrera's not that guy.
No.
So I'm just not buying it, dude. I don't believe the Sharks are really in on Cabrera.
Right.
I just don't think they are.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the less I'm convinced that the Sharks are going to have anything to do with that particular negotiation. And given how close Brian Burke seems to be playing this deal and how much he seems to want in return, makes me even less sure about it. Even, you know, it's just not likely. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
Cabrera, you know, maybe Ron Wilson's or Doug Wilson's looking for a big score in the offseason, but Cabrera is not the score.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to happen. And I think even though the Sharks have that extra forward, you know, mm-hmm. that Klo or Seto that they could part with because Couture is probably ready to slide up into that top six forward, you know, position and fill that void. That's about it. And that's quite a, you know, Seto for 1 year of Cabrera, you know, if he wants more than that,
yeah.
you know, Brian Burke's got to go fishing somewhere else
because
Doug Wilson's not going to bite on that.
Right.
And you got to think that package, you know, Seto and Klo, it comes with the Ken Huskins trash bag and you're going to have to take it. Like, I mean, I think whoever wants to move that contract, the Huskins is moving with those guys.
Like he's the dull set of steak knives.
Yeah, he is the Brad Lukowich this year.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the one that you got to take. You take the good, you take the bad, right?
Right, right.
So I guess to answer your question, I just don't see it happening, especially for that price.
I know we're looking for an exciting move by the Sharks here, Curtis, but I don't think that's going to be the one. Let's go to Kevin from Santa Clara. Kevin says, do you see Alex Stalock getting any starts at the NHL level this season? Starts, he says. So that's an important word. Not mop-up time. I'll say it. 0.0.
Wow.
Unless there is a major injury here.
Right.
Or I guess I can't say 0.0 then, because it's technically possible. You know, operating within the realm, the logical realm and reasonable realm of possibility, I don't think there's any chance of that. Thomas Greiss didn't get enough starts, in my opinion, last year. Why wouldn't you give him more starts this year? So it's going to be Greiss and Nitamaki. If one of them gets really, you know, gets really injured, then we'll see Stalock probably in the backup role. But even in the backup role, I don't think he'll get starts.
Right.
So we'd have to see a major injury and a major suckage or two of those things in order for Stalock to get the start. And I just don't think that's going to happen. They're going to roll the dice and take their chances and try to get a real read on these two guys. And just saying, oh, you did bad the last two games, that means you're out of here and we're going to put in Alex Stalock. Well, then you're not going to get a good read on Alex Stalock either. Then you're in the same position on three guys.
Yeah, there are two factors here. Like you said, the Sharks want Stalock to play regularly.
Mm-hmm.
They want him to play 55, 60 games,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Greiss has a one-way deal that's worth $550,000, and Stalock has a two-way deal. In the NHL, it pays him $850,000.
Right.
So I know we're pinching pennies here, but that's $300,000, you know.
Right.
And when it comes down to how close the Sharks have operated against the cap, that's pretty important. And, you know, when he's in the AHL, the team is only paying him, you know, $60,000. So, you know, in the overall scheme of the budget, that's important. And I think we've seen the Sharks have paid attention to that in the last, you know, especially last year, not bringing in the most expensive guys to plug the injury holes, bringing in, you know, the minimum salary players to kind of fill that void. So you got to believe that there's going to be an open competition at training camp. And if Stalock stands on his head and allows no goals and stops everything, then that's going to put some heat on them
mm-hmm.
to decide what they're going to do. But I don't think they're going to take Stalock unless it's going to be a 50-50 split of time with Nitti Mocky, right?
Right.
I mean, unless he's going to play 40 games guaranteed, they're going to let him play in Worcester. But having said that, dude, I'm making a bold prediction.
Mm.
You ready?
I'm ready.
I think Nitti Mocky, this is, I'm looking into my crystal ball.
Okay.
I don't know if it's quite crystal. It's more like brick.
Right.
Looking into my brick ball.
Uh-huh.
All right. And I'm seeing an injury to Nitti Mocky. I'm seeing Alex Stalock brought up. I'm seeing him get starts. I'm seeing him get hot. I'm seeing the Sharks ride Alex Stalock all the way to the Stanley Cup. I'm seeing the Sharks' future, dude.
Dude, are you just looking at Nolan Schaefer here? Or just years ago?
No, I'm sorry. That I was on my third level of dream state.
Oh, excuse me.
From
Inception.
So you just kicked me out of that. So, okay. Sorry.
Are we back?
We're back. We're back to normal.
Okay. So that's not going to happen.
No.
So, yeah.
I wouldn't put a 0% chance on it. I think it's very possible that I think we will see Stalock start a game this year at some point.
Mm.
They're going to need to bring him in. He's going to start a game.
Over under is one game. I'll take the under.
Okay. I'll take the over. Beer?
Sure.
Beer.
Beer. We're shaking on it.
Shaking on it.
Nice, dude.
All right.
Okay. You better pay up this time.
I always pay up.
I know. I'm just kidding you. All right, dude. We have other emails here. Let's see. So, Andy.
Oh, good day, Governor.
Oh, God.
Andy Clark.
Andy from the UK says, congratulations on keeping the show as fresh and entertaining as ever with absolutely nothing shark-related going on.
Well, thank you, Governor.
Oh, man. He also enjoyed Doug's mom taking on soccer, being like,
that's actually you. Your mom.
Oh, yeah, it is. It was my mom.
Yes.
Get it straight, Andy. Jeez.
It's Michael's mom.
I'm deleting this email. No. As an Englishman, he must confess to agreeing with it and having being brought up on soccer. Watching hockey for me is like watching soccer, but quicker and more physical with none of the diving or play acting. Foreshadowing, dude? There's some foreshadowing here.
Ooh,
in this
to
email.
A later topic.
Anyway. He does have a question. With the uninspired choice of Pittsburgh for the Winter Classic, what do you think the chances are of a Bay Area hosting a Winter Classic? Despite all the talk of the NHL expanding to new areas and their attempts to keep a franchise in Phoenix, still seems the whole sport, both the NHL as an organization and the media, remains fixated on the Northeast, if you include Chicago, Detroit, and Washington in the Northeast. For all the work put in by the Sharks in the 20 years and the strides made, I don't get the feeling that this makes any impression on the traditional hockey markets, which is something that the Winter Classic would change overnight. I can't imagine Gary Bettman purring about the Sharks in the same way he's been fawning over the Pens and the Caps, but I would like to be wrong. What do you guys reckon? I really wish I had that 0.0 sound clip because I would play it here again.
I'm giving it a 10% chance only because of global warming, because it's very possible that California could be under ice in the next 10 years.
Well, it also depends on the time frame. Sharks host a Winter Classic in the next 200 years? I'll go over 0% on that.
Sharks will never host a Winter Classic.
Yeah.
Watch us play this again next year when it's announced.
Yeah.
I could see the Sharks playing in a Winter Classic if they win the Stanley Cup.
Right.
If they win the Cup, then you could see like Sharks at Wrigley, or would they even dare do one in Colorado, because the weather there is, I mean, that's I guess it's as unpredictable as anywhere else, but
sure.
I mean, you would think maybe the most Western team that's going to get that would be the Avalanche,
right,
if they continue to improve.
Well, I don't know what the weather's like in Vancouver, but if it's cold enough, I guess technically Vancouver, if they find an outdoor stadium, or even Edmonton or Calgary, because it's so cold over there. Yeah, unless the Sharks rip off like 3 or 4 Stanley Cups in a row, there's no chance they're ever going to host a Stanley Cup, despite how good this team is. And it's a good team.
Well, I think sort of the charm of having the Winter Classic is they want the snow. They want the people bundled up. They want the drunk people in Boston, you know, drinking whiskey and rolling around outside and getting crazy and stabbing each other.
Yeah, I mean, the NHL is still very much a Canadian and Northeastern league.
Yeah.
It just is... That's where a lot of the population is. That's where the market is. That's where people who grow up playing hockey live and are from. There is just, you know, we've talked about East Coast bias, and it's not something like to, you know, have like a victim complex over. It's just sort of the way it is.
I'm offended.
You're offended. Personally.
You have an East Coast bias right now.
I do a little bit.
You do.
Just a little bit. But it's unavoidable, Andy, unless we see a major shift in the Sharks or Western hockey in general, if we see the Western Conference or Western Pacific teams have a bunch of Stanley Cup wins, we're just not going to see anything like this.
So right.
It's a good idea, but it's just not going to happen. Question number two. With DW finally having agreed with you guys and admitting the need for a top defenseman with the Hjalmarsson offer sheet, who do you think his sights are set on now? He talked about Cabrelle, which we just touched on. One option might be just to start the season as we are and build up cap space for a trade somewhere down the line. I'm sure this approach will not go down well with any of the fans, but do you think it's possible DW is thinking this way?
Yeah. I think it is unfortunately possible that might be, if the right deal's not there,
mm-hmm.
he might go that route, dude.
Maybe I'm interpreting Andy's question a little bit differently. Thinking that way, I don't think he's thinking that way now. I think now he's thinking he's going to try and go get a defenseman. But I'm sure he would admit the possibility of starting the season with the defenseman that we currently have on the roster. I think that's a very distinct possibility. But I don't think that's what he's planning for.
No, I think how I interpreted Andy's question was that, you know, it's possible that if, you know, you got to figure his targets were Bieksa, who's now probably off the market
mm-hmm.
because of the Salo
yeah.
floor hockey yeah. injury.
Oops.
Oops. Way to go.
It's like Jeff Kent falling off his truck.
and now Cabrelle, who maybe isn't the best fit and the price just might be too outrageous that you don't really want to get involved. And Calgary has a surplus of D. Ian White has his arbitration hearing yeah. actually on Friday.
I'm going to be watching that for sure.
So we'll see what happens there. It would be shocking if the Flames just walked away from Ian White.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that.
I can't imagine that's going to happen. So you're going to figure they're going to accept that arbitration ruling
sure.
and then trade him with that contract or trade someone else.
Trade somebody else.
So,
could be the Sharks.
Right.
On the other end of that.
Right. Could so, be. And with Jay Feaster basically now calling the shots
yeah,
there,
yeah.
you know, who knows how he's evaluating this roster, and it might take some time. You wouldn't think that they're going to have a trigger reaction. So is there any other, I still think Brent Burns is a name that's out there. I like that player a lot.
Me too.
He's got size. He's got a big shot. He's good skater. Can play physical. I think, you know, the Seto for Brent Burns just makes way too much sense in my mind for it to ever happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't see him being moved. Defensemen are more much more valuable than forwards with a bad year last year.
Right.
So I don't see Brent Burns being moved. If I was a GM or a coach, I wouldn't want to let go of a guy like that, especially on a team that's, you know, not really in a position to be, you know, angling for small maneuvers in order to try and make a run, because they're not in the position to make
a run. No, but they're a team that, you know, kind of built in the style of the Sharks, that they have a coach who is an ex-assistant yeah. Sharks coach. And, you know, you got to think that they struggle scoring goals sometimes. So mm-hmm. maybe they're willing to make that sort of sacrifice. Is there anyone else that, you know, we're missing here?
I don't think so. The market is locked, man. I mean, we might see some stuff happen after the Kovalchuk situation is finally resolved. You know, it's going to, they may restructure the contract. I think the NHLPA has, you know, gone to an arbitrator, and the arbitrator could restructure the contract. So the whole Kovalchuk thing, I think, is essentially locked up the market. And then once that happens, we might see some other movement. But dude, let's move on. This sort of tailors into that discussion. A bargain basement player, we were going to talk about, okay, is there a bargain basement player that's off the radar right now that the Sharks could end up with? Manny Malhotra was that guy last year.
Right, yeah, right? Last minute signing, kind of sat out there, rejected a larger deal to come to the Sharks and play for less money. And look what happened. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, he played for $750,000 last year
mm-hmm.
and turned it into a 3-year, $7.5 million deal.
Right, so is there a guy out there on the market right now that is unsigned, no one's really talking about, and maybe the Sharks could get him for under market value for a year. He could use, you know, playing on a good team. He could turn that into a great contract down the line like Manny Malhotra did. Do you have somebody?
I do. Do you have someone?
I do indeed.
Who will go first?
I think you will.
Okay. My player is a forward.
Mm-hmm.
My player is someone who led his team last year in penalty killing. My player is someone who you don't think of as a center, but actually took the most draws on his team last year and was over 50%. Energy player, isn't going to score a lot of goals, but is similar to Malhotra in a lot of ways, but definitely a drop-off in the face-off circle.
Mm-hmm.
He's competed four times for the U.S. at the World Cup level, and this name of the player is Richard Park,
okay,
from the New York Islanders.
Wow.
A guy who's flown completely under the radar. Yeah, he's 34 years old. He made $750,000 last year, and I think he's looking for a raise. And no one's going to give him the money.
Right.
And this smells eerily familiar to what Malhotra went through last year.
That's right.
This guy's been on a bad team for a long time. You know, he was part of the Minnesota Wild team that made the run to the conference finals. And then he's really bounced around, you know, with some bad teams, especially mm-hmm. being on the Islanders. What would you think about Richard Park being that value player?
I wouldn't have a problem with it. I haven't seen this guy play that much. Obviously, he's been playing on the Islanders, which is certainly not a team that makes it onto the television here on the West Coast very often.
Right.
But what little I've seen of Richard Park, there's certainly not much to dislike about him. It's just you wonder where he would fit. Is he the third line?
He's a third line player. And, and the thing that is encouraging about him and the thing that Doug Wilson likes a lot is guys who can do multiple things. He could center. He could play. He plays all three forward spots. If you put him on a line with McGinn and Mitchell, that's, you know, the knock on Park's not very big, mm-hmm. you know, and he's mm-hmm. not going to be as physical as Malhotra if Malhotra was really that physical at all.
Right, right.
And he's not going to be a shutdown defender, but he plays with a lot of energy and he could chip in 15, 16 goals, which is something that Malhotra did last year. And the penalty killing. The penalty killing is the huge thing here. That I think the Sharks are going to be looking to add a guy who can fill that role. I'm not sold on Mitchell in that role.
Yeah.
Richard Park is a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and listen, we saw with the Golden State Warriors last week signing Jeremy Lin, mm-hmm. the Asian American homegrown basketball talent. You know, the Sharks might want to take a lesson from the Warriors here. Adding another Asian player. I mean, Setoguchi is, you know, half Japanese, right?
Right, right.
So adding an Asian American hockey player to a market that is filled with Asian American fans,
mm-hmm.
they might have a real coup there in terms of a real sweet PR move on it.
Yeah, yeah.
As well, so. That's my pick.
It's a good pitch, dude. I can't imagine Doug Wilson would actually take the ethnicity of a player into account when signing them, but you never know. You never know.
He loves Germans.
This is true. That's a good point. Anyway, I'm going a lot bigger.
Okay.
And I'm going something that I think is somewhat unlikely. But, you know, I'm going to make the pitch anyway because, you know, we're in the middle of July and we got to talk about something.
I love it. Bring it.
Okay. I'm going to go for Leif Stempniak.
Okay.
Leif Stempniak is a guy that has had, you know, set a couple of really, really good years here. And he played for Phoenix last year. I think he was looking for some big money. The guy's 27 years old. He had 28 goals last year, and he made $3.5 million with a $2.5 million cap hit. Okay, so this is a guy that was going to hit the market. Hey, 28 goals. I'm almost the 30-goal scorer. I'm going to make $3, $4 million. Show me the money. And then you hear crickets, and nothing happens. Mm-hmm. And he's just sort of left, you know, pitching around in the breeze, and there's teams that maybe don't want to pay a guy like that, you know? Oh, is this guy really, you know, he was on St. Louis. His best year on St. Louis, he had 27 goals in 06-07, but then he went down, you know, down to 13 goals the next year, and then he got traded the year after that. So, you know, this isn't a guy who has always been top-notch. You know, if this is a reclamation project, would he take a major discount? You say, listen, dude, you have a shot to play with Joe Thornton here. You're a top six forward, assuming that either Klo or Seto is not on the team. The number six, the sixth forward, Leif Stempniak, you say, listen, dude, we'll give you a couple million dollars here, okay? We'll give you $2 million. We'll give you 1 year, okay? We'll put you on the second line. You'll be playing either with Pavelski or you'll be playing with Thornton. You could have a monster year, 30 to 35 goals, and then cash in just the way Malhotra did. And then, you know, Malhotra is, what, 30 years old. You could parlay a one-year deal with a very good Western Conference team with some great centers into a 3 or 4 year contract making $4 million a year.
Right.
What do you say? Okay, now if I'm Leif Stempniak, I don't, you know, maybe you might want to take that deal. Who knows? I don't know what kind of offers have been floating around out there. But, I mean, Sharks have a legitimate cup chance next year. Between St. Louis, Toronto, and Phoenix, Stempniak has never even sniffed deep in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't he do something like that? Clearly, he's okay with the Western Conference played on Phoenix last year. Who knows?
I think it's a great idea, too. Now, I don't think it's too far-fetched, because the longer this kind of drags out, and seeing Frolov and Ponikarovsky, like, if I'm a GM, I would rather have Stempniak than those two guys, because those two guys are, you know, kind of considered locker room losers, too, you know? So, Stempniak's, what, he's only 27 years old?
Yeah.
You got to think a guy like that would jump at the opportunity to play with Joe Thornton, and especially if we see Seto or Klo move out, you know, the need to fill that top six forward would certainly, you know, be a priority, and maybe you can talk him into it. I think it's a great idea, dude. We'll have to wait and see. And, you know, would he rather go to the KHL and take the money? What's going to be the priority for him? Because that's going to be the only way he's going to get that money, I think, that he thought he was going to get, is if he goes to Russia.
Right. So we'll see where his...
Nice idea, dude.
Thanks,
I like
dude.
It. I like it.
Dude, can you believe we've already talked for like almost 36 minutes, and this is like the off season? We have nothing. And we still have another topic to talk about.
Well, let's get cracking.
Let's get cracking. So we might as well go along. What else are you doing out there? No, I mean, it's not like you're watching Sharks games.
If you've made it this far, you're willing to go a little bit further.
Maybe a little bit further. So we got a little cool music here, dude, because we're talking about something that actually has something to do with you, Mr. Andy.
Yes.
And maybe we could get your feedback on this next segment.
And we need a lot of feedback on this.
Yeah, we do. Okay, let's bring this out. Okay, what do we got here?
Oh, nice. A little music from Snatch. That's very appropriate. Snatch the movie.
It is a good movie.
A British film, which ties into our British segment.
Yes.
Mike and I had the crazy idea that following one team religiously together is just not enough.
No.
So, enjoying the World Cup soccer. I'm a fan of the San Jose Earthquakes here in town, but I haven't really ever followed European soccer that closely.
Mm-hmm.
So we've decided that we're going to follow an English Premier League team.
Yes, we are.
This year, and we're going to be instant fans. We're jumping
gonna,
in with both.
We're going to pick a team and follow them, and it's just going to... You know, it almost feels like selecting a new car. It's like,
I know.
It's kind of exciting. It's like we're weighing different teams. It's like, what features do you want? It's fun, you know? Jump on the bandwagon with us. Follow the English Premier League team, whatever it is. We haven't decided yet.
So we eliminated automatically some of the major names like Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United, Manchester City.
Right.
We knocked those out because we don't want to be considered front runners.
Liverpool.
Here. Liverpool.
We're not doing Liverpool.
No. We knocked them out. Yeah. We're not jumping on the bandwagon.
We're not going to suddenly like start rooting for the Yankees.
No. And then we kind of eliminate some other teams that seem to be kind of perennial losers, or maybe they're going to get relegated to the Champions League. So kind of knocked out some teams like Blackpool and
you gotta bring the listeners along, because these are new. What's the Champions League?
The Champions League. So it would be like if in the NHL, the worst team last year, the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
If you suck, if you're one of the three worst teams, you get sent down. Your team has to play in the AHL.
Right. So it's
the next year.
It's very confusing to me because the Champions League is actually not the League of Champions.
No.
It's
there's like four levels.
It's like the second tier league.
There's like four levels of, and there's even more than that, I'm sure, as some listeners will correct us. We're very new to this.
Yes.
But we've spent some time researching, so we've narrowed it down.
Let's get this straight. You've spent some time researching this, okay?
All right, that's true.
You've spent a lot of time researching
this. I have. Well, this is an important decision. It's like my first English soccer child.
It's true.
So we've narrowed it down to four teams, and we're going to make it the poll question this week.
Yeah.
And we would love to get emails from you, especially if you're a Premiership fan.
Yes.
And let us know if you think we're totally off our rockers in our selection, or we need your guidance, because we're going to make a pick before the season starts, and that's August 14th.
Yes.
So here's team number one, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even sure exactly how to say it. I think it's Aston Villa.
Yes.
All right.
I can't believe it. Would they really have the Spanish pronunciation? Would it
you
be
never
Aston,
know. You
Aston
never know.
Villa? You know, here in California, it'd definitely be Villa, but...
Aston Villa's owned by an American owner, Randy Lerner, owner of the Cleveland Browns. They have two American players, in both their goalies, Brad Friedel and Brad Guzan.
Okay.
We like the American angle, right?
Yeah, we need some sort of hook to follow a team, because if it's just a bunch of random people, it'd be good to have something to hold on to.
And they came in sixth place last year, and they had a pretty good year.
Okay.
And their nickname is the Villains.
Okay.
I kind of like that.
The Villains, good.
All right, so now we've got that team. And the next one is Everton.
Everton, yes. Right? I know a little bit about Everton.
They have the blue home jerseys. They have the pink away jerseys, which the wives would enjoy that.
True.
All right. They came in eighth place last year, and they have U.S. national team goalie Tim Howard as their goalie.
This is how I know
and
Everton.
And Landon Donovan played on loan for Everton last year. And, you know, word is as if he goes back to the Premiership that maybe he'd want to go there.
That'd be sweet.
So
that's a good American hook or interesting hook there for
us.
Yeah,
they play in Liverpool. Their rival is Liverpool. That's fun. A big rivalry. Mm-hmm. Basically, a consistently good team.
Like, okay.
And they're owned by a London theater producer. We like that. Show tunes. All right.
That's right up your alley.
Okay. All right. The next one is Tottenham Hotspur, which is probably the coolest name.
That's a cool name, and we just saw them. They played the Earthquakes not too long ago.
To a 0-0 draw.
Oh, man. It was so thrilling.
They came in. This is a team that's on the rise. They came in fourth place this last year in the Premiership, so they get to play in the Champions League this year, which is a big deal. That's like... all the best teams in Europe.
So the Champions League is not the other Champions League, right?
No. The UEFA Champions League,
UEFA Cup,
is like all the best teams from all across Europe.
Okay.
All right. I'll explain it to you more in depth later.
Right.
This team definitely has the best players on it. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys who played in the World Cup, which is, you know, of the teams we're picking from, that's the most.
Right.
And they seem to have the deepest pockets of the teams that we're looking at. So, Tottenham Hotspur. And then the fourth team. Just come back from being
relegated.
Sent down.
Yeah.
The Newcastle Magpies, which is sort of the Oakland Raiders of the Premiership. All
nice.
Right,
I like
they
this.
Won the Champions League last year.
Okay,
they have the guy on the team who, from what I saw, was voted the dirtiest player in the league. This guy Joey Barton, he mooned an entire stadium after they booed him. Kind of like that.
I like him already.
You know, they're probably definitely the least talented team. Mm-hmm. Is it possible they could get sent down again? Yes. Is this the biggest risk? Yes. Are they on TV the most in the United States so far in 2010? Yes.
Really?
This is the team that you could watch the most out of the ones that we're looking at.
Right, because we're not gonna pay for like the package.
No, we're not that into it yet.
Yeah.
So those are the four choices.
Okay.
Got Aston Villa, Everton,
right.
Tottenham Hotspur, and Newcastle.
Okay.
So those are the choices here. We need your help. We need to pick a team. By next podcast, I think we'll announce who we've picked.
Yeah, next podcast in 2 weeks, because Doug, unfortunately, is not able to join us next week, and you don't want to just hear me talk. So next podcast, we're choosing. So we're going to put that as the poll question. I'm just saying we are not contractually obligated to pick who the listeners chose for us.
No.
It's still our decision, but we're certainly up for being persuaded one way or another. Questions@dudesonhockey.com is the email address.
And, or put it on Facebook.
Yeah, put it on Facebook. Yeah, check it out. Ask your friends, you know, because, you know, we don't know this much. And maybe there's some... I'm sure there's listeners out there that follow the EPL. A guy on my hockey team, actually... really follows the EPL. He has a EPL fantasy team.
He does?
Yeah, he follows.
Who's his team?
Wigan Athletic.
Ooh.
Who? You know, this is who I said. Who?
Yeah.
So, exactly. So, I don't think Wigan is going to be our team.
No.
So, anyway, but it's an interesting little thing. We encourage you to join us. Watch a couple of good English football games before the hockey season starts. Just to, you know.
Yeah, we'll do it together.
Just to wait.
We're going to make this choice together.
We are. Okay, so I think now we've run out of all possible obscure sport topics, and we're way over 40 minutes, so this is
congrats,
like...
Congrats, dude. Well, this is a double episode.
It is a double episode.
Like,
keep in mind, because we're trying to get it all out there, because next week we can't be here, so...
When I get back from vacation, will the Sharks have made a significant roster move?
No.
I feel a soundbite coming up.
I know. Okay, I got to cut this. I got to write this down when I said it so I can cut this for the next show.
43 minutes and 40 seconds.
After dude. The Sharks sign Kovalchuk, I will play that clip. All right.
Dude, see you in a couple weeks.
All right, dude. See you then.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.